Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 293 main event for the middleweight title. Israel Adesanya defending his belt against Sean Strickland. I'm interested in this fight for a variety of different reasons. This might be a little bit of a longer show than what you're normally used to. I want to discuss a few things with you. I want to have a conversation with you, and I want to get your thoughts in the comments as well, because this fight represents an interesting dilemma in current mixed martial arts, and it kind of follows on from what I was talking about before the Aljamain Sterling Sean O'Malley fight. But this one's even more specific for reasons which I'll explain. Before I go any further, let me give a shout out to our sponsors, Harney & Sons Tea, of course, a tea sponsor, suits us perfectly. We live on this stuff, it's amazing. This is the hot cinnamon spice. I had a cup the other day and it has just got me switched on, ready for autumn. This is my favorite month of the favorite season of the year, autumn or fall, as you call it in America. There's a current Labor Day sale on as well, so go and check that out. And right under the Labor Day sale on the website right now, you can click get your hot cinnamon spice. So make sure you click on that and get it. And if you use the code FULLREPTILE, you'll get 15% off. I can't express to you how good this stuff is. We have a variety of stuff from Harney & Sons, and everything that I've tried so far has been incredible. This one, so this is the hot cinnamon spice, as I said. This has got cloves and cinnamon, orange. It's a bit of me, this one. It reminds me of old school candy from when I was a kid, old school sweets from people in the UK. It is really delicious. Okay, right, let's get into this. So, got a few things to show you today. Back to the old iPad. So Israel Adesanya stands 6'4" and he has a reach of 80 inches compared to Sean Strickland, who stands at 6'1" and has a reach of 76 inches. So straight away, Israel Adesanya is the bigger, longer fighter. As far as experience, they're relatively similar. I mean, Sean Strickland's got slightly more experience in MMA, but we know that Adesanya's got that 80-fight kickboxing experience as well. Although, you know, you've got to imagine Sean Strickland's had a fair few fights that have not been registered or recognised by any governing body. And there is value in that experience as well if you fight like Sean Strickland does. Records. So Adesanya is 24 wins and 2 losses. Sean Strickland, 27 wins and 5 losses. 11 wins by knockout on Sean Strickland's record and 4 submissions, all rear naked chokes. The last time we saw a rear naked choke from Sean Strickland was 2014 at UFC 171. That was his UFC debut. I'd be very surprised if we see anything like this from Sean Strickland. He seems to have become quite settled in the style that he is. It's almost like he's campaigning for not adding techniques to his to his skill set. The smart thing to do, of course, would be to challenge Israel Adesanya in a mixed martial arts fight with a mixed variety of skills. I don't expect that from Sean Strickland, although I am, as I am often saying now, I am waiting to be pleasantly surprised. Israel Adesanya, on the other side, 24 wins on his record, 16 by knockout, but he's also got the 80-fight kickboxing record, 80 fights, 75 wins, 29 knockouts. I often use this as a talking point when I'm discussing different styles of fighters, different types of fighters. So Israel Adesanya's had 80 kickboxing matches. He won the vast majority. He knocked out 29 of the 75 people that he beat in kickboxing, which means that there's a good volume of fights there that went the distance. I see there's a huge amount of value to that, and you can see it in Adesanya's game because of the way that he fights, because of how calculated and measured he is. Like, there's a real finesse to his game. There's a beauty to his game that you can't not see if you watch some of his best performances. I mean, you know, like, we've seen some really good performances. My all-time favorite of Adesanya is Paulo Costa, and you know, Jamie said the same thing before we started recording today. He said that this could very much look like that. The Sean Strickland fight could look like the Adesanya Paulo Costa fight, and I agree, because Paulo Costa came into that fight, he's like, I can fight, I've got good hands, if I hit and keep hitting, that this person's going to go away. And that's kind of the end of his thinking when he comes into these fights. And Sean Strickland, I don't think he's that much further ahead in terms of his planning. Now, I'm going to there's going to be certain things that I'm going to say in this episode that's probably going to upset some people. I'm expecting to get some heat in the comments for things that I will say. But the reality is Sean Strickland's the perfect example to use because he doesn't care. Like, remember this, whatever I say, he doesn't care what I think. And that's one of the reasons why he fights like he does. He's almost the antithesis of martial arts. He's like a modern day representation of like a Tank Abbott kind of energy. And, you know, Tank Abbott could wrestle and he was a good athlete and he had very heavy hands, but he was a street fighter. And the whole vibe of Tank Abbott, especially in those early UFC days, was damn your martial arts. It doesn't matter how many hours you've spent in the dojo wearing your pajamas. I'm going to come and stomp a hole in your face and you can't do anything about it. And Sean Strickland brings that kind of energy. It's a more modernized version, of course. And, you know, there's a lot of training that's gone into the style that Sean Strickland has. But that, for me, is still the energy of it. And because of that, and because, like, you know, I'm a lover of martial arts, I look at this fight and I think to myself, Adesanya should win every time. There isn't a time where Sean Strickland should be able to get to Adesanya or beat him or better him, because I feel like Adesanya is generally a better martial artist. He's got a broader skill set and he's got a better handle on the skills that he uses and better weapon selection and a variety of different plays that he can use against his opponents to make them vulnerable. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen every time, right? This is where the conversation kind of starts for me with you guys, because, as I said, Sean Strickland represents something that, for me, in mixed martial arts, it reflects the level of mixed martial arts right now. And of course, I'm not intending on being in any way insulting the way I'm talking about Sean Strickland, but there is very little to his game, no matter how effective he is with it, right? Like, I'm going to show you a few things today, because I didn't want you to just feel like I was, like, having a downer on him for any particular reason. Like he's a genuine question for me in mixed martial arts, because I feel like in this modern day of 2023, that someone with Sean Strickland's limited skill set and vulnerabilities should be having the same success that he is, right? And of course, you know, this was a bit of a conversation that we were having about the previous fights with Aljamain Sterling and Sean O'Malley. And the point that I was trying to make is that, yes, Aljamain Sterling can be incredibly effective at what he does, but he's effective because of his pace and his chain wrestling. He's not effective with his strikes because he's a good striker. And he doesn't know what he doesn't know, so therefore he wasn't going to know that there was a vulnerability that Sean O'Malley had picked out, that his team had isolated and figured out that they could get to him. Now, you know, you could have those guys fight 10 times and maybe Aljamain Sterling drowns him 7 times out of 10 with wrestling and pace and conditioning. But it doesn't change the fact that the vulnerability that was highlighted by Sean O'Malley is there, right? The same vulnerability that Sean Strickland showed in the Alex Pereira fight is potentially still there, right? Now, sometimes when a fighter, when I used to work for the UFC and I used to do the fight week interviews, I would ask questions to fighters that were coming off a loss, and I would try and figure out if they understood what had happened, because for me, it's always important. I don't care about the losses on fighters' records. It really is largely irrelevant. What I'm looking at is their last 3 fights and their performances, right? And I'm interested to know that if they're coming off a loss, if they've been able to take that loss on board and understand what happened. And I've spoken to a high level fighter. It doesn't matter who it was, but they got knocked out in a very, very devastating way, very, very public. And it was like, you know, oh my goodness, this was never going to happen. It was a roll of the dice by the fighter that knocked him out. It paid off, but it was a calculated roll because he'd done his research. He knew where the fighter's head was going to be. And when I asked the fighter about it, about the knockout, he couldn't understand how it had happened. He'd not attempted to look into it. Now, for me, Sean Strickland seems like quite an uncoachable character. Like, if you look at him at the end of the first round with Abbas, you can see Nixik like wandering back and forth and trying to get a hold of him. Like, hey, listen, like, pay attention. I don't think Sean Strickland's in the gym desperate to learn new stuff. I don't think he's there with the coaches, like, give me your Brazilian jiu-jitsu knowledge, give me your wrestling knowledge. Like, I think he picks up little bits here and there, but a lot of it is trial and error. It's banging his head against the sparring wall and seeing what works and what doesn't. And he'll see things that work for other people, and he'll pick up on little lessons that he'll hear here and there. But he seems very resistant to learning. He doesn't seem very studious, which is, again, the antithesis of what martial arts is about. Like, for me, being a martial artist is about learning every day and bettering yourself. If you look at Adesanya in his corner, this man's like world champion, like regained his title. He's standing in the corner and he's engaged with his coaches. He wants to know what they've got to say because he values what they have to say. And I don't see the same thing from Sean Strickland. So I don't expect any evolution in his game. And, you know, mixed martial arts is a big sport. It's very small in its size compared to other sports, but it's very broad in the kind of people that you get involved. Lots of different characters. You get the nerds and the bullies, and everybody's involved in some capacity. And we have different specialisms based on those different archetypes of fighters, different characteristics. Now, for me, Israel Adesanya is an elite level striker that's bringing up his grappling to support the elite level striker, but he always wants to be an elite level striker, no matter what the rule set. You've got Sean Strickland on the other side, who has a disregard for the depth and breadth of mixed martial arts. What he wants to do is punch you in the face as many times as possible, right? It's the Tank Abbott energy. So there's a difference in the way that these guys approach the fight. There's a difference in the way that they're able to learn things. And because of this, this is why I expect Adesanya to win. 10 times out of 10, I would expect Adesanya. I would almost hope Adesanya would win because he's a better representation of what martial arts is. But then I have this conversation going on in my head all the time. Like, I can be working out in the gym or out running or whatever, and the conversation's going on in the back of my head. Like, what is it about Sean Strickland that is effective? Like, why is it right now in mixed martial arts he is getting a title shot at the middleweight belt? Like, you would think that someone with the limited skill set that he's got would not be able to get close to the top 10. But he is a good reflection of where the level of striking is in mixed martial arts. Like, we go back to his last fight, and I'm going to show you some stuff in a second. You just got to kind of just help me understand what's going on here, because I want to understand your thoughts as well. Because he comes into every fight with the I'm gonna take whatever you've got to throw, and then I'm gonna waterboard you until you crack. That game plan will work for the majority of people. It's kind of similar in the process that people go through if they're fighting Aljamain Sterling. Like, you're either going to get to him with something, or he's going to wear you out before you get the opportunity to. And for Sean Strickland, this has happened. We've seen both different ways that this can play out. You know, the Poatan fight and the Abbas fight are very, very different. You know, the Pereira fight went exactly as I thought it would go, because a level of striker like Pereira should be able to find those holes in Strickland's game. I say the same thing about Adesanya. Good level strikers should be able to find holes in Strickland's game. But then these good strikers and these capable strikers. You see, I think Abbas Magomedov has got quite a good skill set. Like, broadly, across the table, I think he's got a pretty good skill set. But I think he had terrible management of energy in that Sean Strickland fight. He fell into the trap that Strickland represents. He's that quicksand, right? So what we see is Abbas, with a variety of different skills and with footwork and with stance switching, expending energy against a defense that he couldn't penetrate. Not that he couldn't penetrate it, but he just didn't have the tools or the knowledge to know how. And that's not what we saw with Poatan, and that's what I expect from Adesanya as well. I expect him to be able to find ways through. But if he doesn't, he's going to get waterboarded into Sean Strickland's style of fighting, which is exhausting. Like, I've trained with guys like him, and I mean, you know, he is an extreme example of this type of style, but it is exhausting and it's frustrating. And, you know, it's similar to Nate Diaz. You know, how did we expect him to beat Jake Paul? Well, we expected him to take the best shots that Jake Paul had got and then waterboard him into a corner where he just felt like he was suffocating because of the volume of punches. There's not a real thought process behind what's being thrown by Strickland, but what he is very good at is being right in the moment. And that's something that a lot of fighters struggle with. That's something that you have to admire about his game. Because he does so much sparring, he's always in the moment. He's reading his opponent. He's not even really thinking about his technique, which is maybe sometimes why it gets a little bit wild and untidy. I feel like I could go on for a long while about this. It's I'm going to show you some things, and I'm going to try and illustrate what I'm talking about here, because I don't want you to feel... I have nothing against Sean Strickland. I have very little emotional involvement in any of these fights, honestly. If you knew me, better than you do through the YouTube channel, you would know this. I genuinely don't care. But Sean Strickland raises a problem in my mind, a philosophical martial arts problem of why is he being effective when he doesn't have the technical ability of other martial artists that he's fighting. That's my question. And I think I know the answer. I feel like I know the answer, but that requires me to then break down the rest of the division. And we don't necessarily have time for that. But I will show you a few things because, guess what? Luo's back. So, Adesanya, right? If you're Adesanya and you're fighting Sean Strickland, where do you want to contend with him? You want to contend with him outside of arm length, right? Because Sean Strickland is 86% headshots and almost no kicks. He very rarely works takedown, so that's something that Adesanya has even less concern to worry about. And if he's outside a punching range and he's not up against the fence, then takedowns are even less of a problem. So for Adesanya, he wants to be at this range where he's just outside of punching range, where he can keep chopping and chipping and poking with his kicks. He did a really good job of that against Błachowicz, who, because he had the weight advantage, he was the light heavyweight champion, he was most likely going to be able to walk Adesanya down. And if you're fighting Adesanya, you don't want to be standing outside in his kicking range because he has so many different plays and traps and games. I know very, very little about American football, or football, as you call it. When I see these quarterbacks break down all of these plays, the stuff that they have to memorize, one of my favorite the fight day movies was Friday Night Lights. You know, Can You Be Perfect? The amount of stuff they would have to remember, the plays, the little traps and feints, and, oh, we're going to think, they're going to make their team think we're going in this direction, and I'm going to pass it off to this guy over here. You can tell how rudimentary my understanding is. But that's warfare, right? They're trying to get to the king, the back of the line. They're trying to break through the enemy lines to try and get to the leader of the army. That's, for me, what this represents. And that's what a striking game is. Like, the head of the person is the king. It doesn't mean you can't do serious damage by damaging the body, but at the same time, you can't neglect the fact that the head is the easiest way to topple an individual, right? You either cut off the blood supply, you cut off the oxygen, or you just switch it off. So with that in mind, when you look at someone like Adesanya and you see the amount of plays that he's got from the outside, the amount of running routes that he's got, you can see why it's very difficult for people to keep up with him. Then on the other side, you've got Sean Strickland, who maybe doesn't have this catalogue of plays, but what he does have is hours and hours in the cage with his gloves on, tap, tap, working with people who he's always slightly better than, most likely, so he can kind of get away with stuff, but every now and then they'll catch him with a shot, and that's where he's learning. He's learning by being at the coalface, is probably another very British saying, but we are sponsored by a tea company, so it doesn't make sense. Like, he's there, like, in front of people all the time, testing his game. And in his game, he's quite restricted in his options. But what I've learned about martial arts in the last few years is the more complex the technique, the less likely it is to land, and the more likely it is to waste energy and put you in a vulnerable position. Like, some of the best fighters in the world live on a jab and a low kick. And for me, Sean Strickland has the necessary tools to beat the majority of people that he's up against. So why does he need to add anything more to his game? Well, because occasionally he's going to come up against an Israel Adesanya. And even though he doesn't necessarily want to play the games Adesanya wants to play, even though Sean Strickland really just wants to make it into a street fight where he can overwhelm and show his toughness, he has to be aware of what Adesanya is doing. And if he doesn't know what he doesn't know, then he's always going to be vulnerable to it. Did Aljamain Sterling know that he was vulnerable to that slip-back counter? Did he know? If he watched his previous tape, he would have known it was there, because Sean O'Malley watched the previous tape and he knew that it was there. Like, the evidence is there to read. I am rambling today, my goodness. But my brain has been spinning about this fight because it's bigger than this matchup. I said this to somebody in the comments the other day on the channel. Like, I'll quite happily debate with you in the comments if you've got a good point. But don't say something with nothing to back it up. I would debate with you, but you've got to understand that, like, we're all here to learn, and you have to understand I've learned different things to what you guys have learned, and I can learn from you as well. So give me your evidence. If you make a statement in the comments, give me your evidence. I don't know why I went off on that tangent. Let's focus on this. So Adesanya is going to want you at kicking range. He's going to want to target several different things. He's going to want to target the head. He's going to want to target the body most likely on the other side. And he's going to want to target the head most likely on the other side. What you'll notice about Adesanya's game is he's very good at attacking this lead leg with the back and front leg of his own. But what you'll notice is when he starts to go higher, then he starts to tend to switch to southpaw, which is what he's going to do in a second. See how he pulls himself southpaw there? Watch the stance switch. Both fighters are orthodox. We get a hard low kick. Bang, hard low kick. Yan's a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit embarrassed, feels like he needs to do something. He's going to push forward. Adesanya is going to give him the ground, but he's going to give him the ground by switching his stance, which then primes this kick to then fire back at him, which is where Adesanya is so good at switching. Oh, it goes to the head. So good at switching. Of course, the next one's to the body, because that's my next point. Sean Strickland's very twitchy with his arms, right? We've talked about his guard before. Like, I call it the cocksucker guard because it stops people doing it in sparring, right? If I see people in the gym and they're doing this, and as soon as I call it that, they go, "Ooh, I don't want to do that." Then they get their hands in a better position. The problem with this guard, and the reason why Sean Strickland does it, and Laura Sanko picked up on it on the comms, like, he's got an adapted Philly shell style, right? If Sean Strickland was a boxer, he wouldn't be as square on, right? He would be side on, which means that this lead shoulder here becomes his defense. Let me just turn more to the camera. Like, that lead shoulder then becomes his defense. So then this backhand becomes his line of defense for anything that gets past, right? This is what Mayweather was so good at. This is why Conor McGregor in his first fight with Nate Diaz punched and punched and punched and never landed anything with success, because he rolled it off the shoulder. Well, I say never land, he caught him a few times. But my point is that a lot of fighters are very good at deflecting things off their lead shoulder. Now, because Sean Strickland is an MMA fighter, you tend to find he stands a bit more square because it's easier to deal with kicks. His lead leg's less vulnerable than standing on the side. And also because he can stand higher on his back leg, which means that he can drift away from kicks that are coming around the sides. So his defense is very unorthodox, but it works because it's had to work in the rounds and rounds of sparring that he's done. So yes, of course, we can poke holes in it, but until people start poking holes in it, he's not going to change it. So this is why I go back to the question about Poatan. If we sat Sean Strickland down in front of that video and asked him to tell us why he got knocked out with that left hook, would he know? Because if he would know, then that's great. And that shows that he's making progress, because that shows that he's open to learn. My guess is that he's probably only watched the fight back maybe once or twice, and it was a left hook that landed, and on a different day it wouldn't have done. Because unfortunately, that's the reaction that I get from a lot of fighters. And the archetype of Sean Strickland is the kind of fighter that would reply to that kind of question with that answer. Is, well, you know, it wouldn't have landed on a different day. That's the difference when you're fighting someone like Adesanya, is if he sees you doing that, he's going to punish you for it. Now, again, I go off on a tangent. So Adesanya with kicks, bang. It's going to be useful on the outside because I feel like Sean Strickland is vulnerable. I love this little slide feint that he does. He's so good at moving himself into range. And you can see Jan Błachowicz here, like, he doesn't know where the kick's coming from. He's blocking the side of his head. He's blocking the side of his head. Like, with Adesanya being able to switch his stance and switch his level of kicks without really losing any speed, it makes people very tentative. And that's where Sean Strickland's going to be triggered to be doing things with his hands that he doesn't want to do. I'm going to show you in a minute what I'm talking about. So let's just have a quick focus on Adesanya before we move back onto Sean Strickland, because there are lots of things that Adesanya does well. And I'm going to point out a couple of things that, for me, really show the level of his striking. He really does set the bar for striking in mixed martial arts. And I'm sure that there will be people in the future that will be better than him. But the improvements in Adesanya's game now need to be with his grappling in order to support that striking game. Because for me, aside from Poatan, the rest of the division is a way away from him. A way away from him. Yeah. Okay. So, this is just beautiful. That is delicious. And the thing with Adesanya's style is everything happens at such a quick and subtle rate that it's really easy to miss things. Like, we can watch this and we can see what happens here, but we can't see it from Rob Whittaker's perspective. And we can't see it from Whittaker's perspective of, I've already taken punishment on this, on these targets. I'm already feeling pain. That's going to make him jump even more, right? Makes sense. So try, when you're watching this, to put yourself in Rob Whittaker's perspective. I'm going to play it through full speed. And then I want you to see how much of this you can pick out, because there is so much to it. There really is. And it looks very simple. It looks like he's just moving himself into range and throwing a left hand down the pipe. But if you're taking this in from Rob Whittaker's perspective, there's three or four things that happen before you get caught with that left hand down the pipe. So watch this. Whittaker's going to throw an inside low kick and Adesanya's going to block it with his lead shin. And he's going to acknowledge it for a second. He's going to be like, yep, nice kick, but that probably hurt you more than it hurt me. And then he goes through this series of feints. Ha, 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 ba, bam. It's beautiful. Watch. I mean, it's so simple and it's so short. Let me try and break it down for you so you can see what I'm seeing. So, right. Hang on, where are we? Where's the kick? So the kick comes in. Bang. Adesanya checks it. Puts his foot back into place. Now, straight away, he's going to start with a hip feint. This hip is going to feint. The best way to notice it is this arm here. What you'll see him do is he'll go like that. He'll twist his shoulder through, which makes it seem like this leg is coming around, which will then trigger Whittaker to think that that's attacking his midsection or his head, because, of course, you know, from this southpaw stance, that leg is very, very loose to change its direction. So watch this. So we go hip feint. You see the hip feint? See the arm come across. Then he slides himself into range. Then he's going to reset that same feint. See, the reset, the same feint. Now Whittaker's backed up against the fence, gives him a very different reaction. See the feint there? There, look, that little drag of the hip. It's a little pump from the hip. And it triggers Whittaker to cover up. But this is only to reset that front foot. Watch this, front foot's going to move forward. Whittaker's going to pick this leg up. He's going to try and cover as much of his body as he can. Of course, you can't cover everything. And the problem that Sean Strickland's going to have is that he's going to be reacting to things that Adesanya's not actually throwing, which means he's going to be open elsewhere. And that's what happened against Whittaker. That's what happened against Paulo Costa. It is Adesanya's game. He has these running routes that go around your defense. He's not trying to punch and strike through your defense. He's trying to open it up so there's gaps in there. Beautiful. Watch this. Feint, feint, strike. Clean right down the pipe. It's just beautiful work. And we saw the same thing with Paulo Costa. So many different moments where he was able to chip away at him. Let's just go slow-mo. Chip away at him. Little hip feints, little twitches. At this time in here. So, again, I mean, like, I could spend an hour talking about these clips. There's just so many little things that are going on here, right? Think of Adesanya in this fight. Watch it back yourself. It's a jab and a low kick. It's really what he uses to shut Paulo Costa out before he starts having other plays, before he starts switching to southpaw and pumping the feint left, etc. The start of this was jab, low kick, feint cut, feint low kick, jab, low kick. Really, really basic stuff. But he can make it complex by the delivery of it. Like, watch this. Watch the timing of this. So he's going to come with a stomp with this rear leg, right? That's a bit of a terrible arrow. He's going to stomp with this rear leg to their right leg, which is going to force Paulo Costa to retract this leg back. Then he's going to bring it back into place. As soon as he puts it down on the canvas, there's the strike, touches it down behind him, brings it back into play. Look, Adesanya's already throwing his kick before the foot's landed. Look at his hands. Focus on nothing but Adesanya. You can see him getting ready to throw it before the foot's even landed, because he knows that Paulo Costa is going to step forward, because he's forced him to step away. He's triggered him to step back into range because he's just been hit by a kick. Like, we are so easy as animals to trigger and encourage to do the same thing. It is unbelievable how easy people can be played on, and this is what Adesanya is a specialist at. Look, jams him the leg. Knows full well that Paulo Costa's not going to step forward into a southpaw stance because he's always orthodox. Steps back into an orthodox stance, takes a kick straight away. Bang. Another example, this next one. Watch how he forces Paulo Costa. He's going to move around towards the camera here. He's going to force Paulo Costa to reset this front foot. This front foot's going to move because Adesanya's triggered the movement. Look, there we go. Adesanya's stepping with the intention to throw that kick because he knows that that Paulo Costa's going to follow. See, this is where footwork is key. So many people don't understand this. We talked about it briefly on, was it the Picks podcast, the octagon control thing, Jamie? Yeah. Like, controlling the octagon is dictating who's moving where. And Adesanya, even if he's the one moving laterally up against the fence, often he's the one in charge of the octagon because he's making his opponents step onto the shots that he's setting them up for. Really nice, clever work. And look how fast this jab is. And watch the reaction that he gets. He throws the jab and he stings him. Stings him with the jab. But look at the reaction he gets. Look where the backhand of Paulo Costa is. How often do we see this, right? I mean, you know, we've just seen Gaethje use it. We saw Leon Edwards use it. People are winning world titles with this. And it is a very, very simple play. Show you this. I'm going to give you this instead. McGregor against Cowboy. That was even more subtle because what you see from Cowboy's perspective is McGregor clenches left fist. You don't even see him throw the left hand as a feint. You just see him clench his fist and throw the head kick. In these moments where you've got this heightened sense of, oh, everything's coming at me, you can get kind of twitchy, especially if you don't have a solid defense that you trust in, right? Okay, I'm walking someone down. I've got to keep my guard tight. This is what Peter Yan's really good at. This is why I like watching him, not necessarily because his offense is always where it needs to be, but because his defense is incredible. And there are so many people that have got a real leaky defense, and I would say Sean Strickland is one of those guys. So when I see Adesanya using these kind of tricks to trigger people, to block in punches, he knows that Paulo Costa will bite on that now. So then when we see him switch to southpaw and throw it as a cross, look, tied up the lead hand, he knows that that's not going to be problematic because he's got his hand on it. So he's going to throw this in Paulo Costa's direction. What's Costa going to do? He's going to take this catcher's mitt and he's going to put it out in front of him to try and save his face from this straight left. But Adesanya's not throwing the straight left. Adesanya's throwing the kick behind it. And we know that not only because the kick comes, but because it's already on its way before this punch is extended out. You can tell his intention because he's already triggered the release of the kick before the punch has gone out. Same as Leon Edwards. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he was going to get his opponent to reach and shift. Look where Paulo Costa's head is. Look where his guard is. Nowhere to be seen. Wham. Have a foot to your face. Like, and this is, of course, his last fight against Poatan. Which I think is interesting given the fact that he lost the previous fight backed up against the fence in this same situation with Pereira just unloading big shots. But Pereira, he's an educated version of Sean Strickland. I don't feel like Pereira's got as many games on the table, as many plates spinning as Adesanya. He's got a few more than Sean Strickland for sure. But I don't feel like he's got that level. But then this is where, you know, if Poatan's got three good runs, three good plays, and Adesanya's got 20, as long as those three are working and as long as Adesanya, comes out on the losing end, it doesn't matter for Pereira. I hope you're following what I'm saying. I feel like I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you. I have been kicking this fight around in my brain, though, because I do find it really interesting. I find Sean Strickland really interesting because he's so successful and because the style that he has is... it doesn't lend itself to the kind of success that I feel like he's having, which I find really interesting, I'll be honest. Anyway, so think about this, right? If Sean Strickland is able to walk through Adesanya's long-range game, he's able to get himself inside, and he's able, say, for example, I don't know, I don't think it's going to happen because I feel like Adesanya's got better management and better conditioning. But if Adesanya's backed up against the fence in Abbas's position and Sean Strickland's walking him down, does that mean that Sean Strickland's going to Poatan him and crack him with a left hook and knock him out? Unfortunately for Sean Strickland, it doesn't. Like, the knockdown statistics don't help him out either. Before we move, in fact, I'll quick write it down here. So we've got, for Adesanya, we've got 1,149 total strikes with 13 knockdowns. And we've got Strickland with 8,98 total strikes with 5 knockdowns. which gives Strickland a knockdown ratio of 179.5 per knockdown. Adesanya is at 88.3. So even in the power exchange, you've got to think Adesanya's got the advantage. And I'm thinking Sean Strickland's got him backed up against the fence here, and Adesanya is under pressure. Throws a kick, Sean Strickland blocks it, pressures him into a range. Like, picture this. Put Sean Strickland in this position where Alex Pereira is. And then we remember this combination at the end. It's beautiful. Really nice. Because what we see is Pereira unloading punches at the pace that he punches at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like a metronome. And it's consistent. So Adesanya finds that rhythm on the back foot when he's on the inside, and he goes back, back. And he breaks that rhythm. Beautiful. Canelo does this really well against Yildirim. And I'm going to mention Canelo again in a moment. I don't have the clip, though. I took it out, but that doesn't matter. But look at this. Let me play it through slow motion. Watch the pace that you see Alex Pereira throwing at, and then watch how Izzy finds his timing on the inside to just touch him with the lead hand and throw that big right hand over the top. This is learning from your mistakes. This is Adesanya watching that fight back against Pereira and seeing his opportunities. It's just beautiful. Let me watch it in full speed. Because, like, you can really feel that Adesanya's watching. He's paying attention on the inside. Because, you know, and why would Pereira not keep striking? Because this is how he beat him before. Why would he not keep throwing these punches? Because there's nothing coming back from Adesanya of worth until it does. Watch the rhythm again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then Adesanya's right there before he hits that sixth punch. Like, look where his hands are. Like, you can get away with this kind of stuff when you've got the power that Alex Pereira's got. Sean Strickland can't get away with this. And if he's on the front foot with Adesanya, look at this little touch with the lead hand. Just that little touch there. Just breaks Pereira's rhythm. And you can see Pereira's loading that left hook. Like, look, like we're left and right. Where are we? Left hook, covered. Short right hand, pumps the little right hand to reset his left hook. That's why you can see it down at his waist there, because that left hook's coming again, because he feels like he's just landed it. And that's the moment, right in the reload of the left hook, where Adesanya touches him once, twice, and comes on the inside of that left hook as it's triggered. Look, you can see Poatan's left hook here. And I mean, of course, one of the best fighters in the world, one of the best strikers in the world, doesn't necessarily mean people are doing everything right. Look where his hand is. It's below his chin. Look where this arm is. That's a weird left hook position. That's a Frankie Edgar style position where it's like a little left hook on the end there. It's odd. But anyway, there's so many different tangents we could go off. A beautiful finish by Adesanya. Really well timed. Found his opportunity. And that's one more thing as well. I always talk to people about pulling their shoulders into their left hook. Now, you've got to remember that Adesanya was expecting Pereira's head to be there. So this left hook was going to intercept it. Watch how he pulls his shoulder into it. He's not punching with his hand. Watch how his shoulder comes through. And we know it because it catches on Pereira, whose head is down. You see how his shoulder's coming through. That's where he's driving from. You think back to the Whittaker knockout or the Paulo Costa one where he drifts away and catches him. Same situation. Like, he drifts away, pulls that shoulder through. Really nice style. But again, you know, he's open, but he get away with it because he's on the offense. It's like, I'm gonna talk about some things with Sean Strickland now. But what I wanna point out is that, like, there's reaction but not logic to what he's doing with his defense, and this is what Adesanya's gonna prey on, right? Adesanya's gonna see him twitching like Paulo Costa was, and reaching for stuff and removing his guard. That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at a defense that's kind of adaptable and wide and catches things on the periphery. We're looking at a defense where he's actually defending one thing and removing his defense from somewhere else. So this is the start of Abbas. Look at the posture that he's got here. Like, this is what I'm talking about with the, kind of the adapted Philly shell. So this hand would usually be his second line of defense after his shoulder, but because his shoulders are quite square, this now has to cover a lot more ground, a lot more range, given the fact that he's not as narrow as he was. Then this hand's kind of drifting down at the bottom, and there's a benefit to this. It's much easier to sting people with a jab if the jab comes from there than if it comes from there. There's more side profile to this jab. There's more muscle engagement in holding this jab up, so people tend to pump their hands on the jab. There's a lot of benefits in having the hand down low and stinging. Like, I've done a lot of this. James Toney is sick at this. Pew, little sting with the back of the knuckles. And you only need it to land lightly to start your combination going. This is where Sean Strickland's good. He'll throw it out there, and if it lands, then he'll follow it and he'll carry on punching. If it doesn't land, then he won't. But of course, you can see the vulnerabilities in his defense here. And when he's under attack as well, like, watch how he's twitching with his hands. Like, why is he putting his right hand out there like that? Like, it's just like body's open, you know, head's drifting away, like arms out, look, like head's vulnerable. like this is, and I'm showing you the things that no doubt the Adesanya team are seeing. Like, this is why Adesanya's so confident, because there are so many opportunities where Sean Strickland is wide open to be countered and to be hurt. Like, Poatan got there first, so maybe he's learned from it, but I just don't feel like he has. Like, look how twitchy he is with his hands here. This is a body kick coming, or is it a body kick? Is it a head kick? Who knows? He's lucky he didn't throw it, because if it was a head kick, I mean, do you know, yeah, what I'm saying? Like, this is why I always think to myself, well, there's no way that Sean Strickland should be able to beat Adesanya, because Adesanya's got the skills to capitalize on these mistakes that he's making, where he's twitchy unnecessarily. But this is the thing. Like, if you don't land, then he might get to you, and over 25 minutes, he can wear the majority of people down. Now, this was a very interesting opening, and you can see how twitchy he is, but Abbas wasn't able to get through to him. Like, this is a good example of the ideal Sean Strickland performance. Like, I can't remember who was on commentary. I think DC said that it was the best Sean Strickland we've seen. And yeah, potentially, yes. But the fight was either going to play out one or two ways. He was either going to be successful in the way that he fights, or he wasn't. There wasn't any adaptability to it. Same thing with Aljamain Sterling. He was either going to win the fight by doing what he does really well, or he wasn't, because there's no adaptability to his game. And there's no adaptability because he doesn't have the striking to bolt on at the level of Sean O'Malley. Will Sean Strickland surprise us and start hitting takedowns on Adesanya, or at least give him the thought that he might have to defend a takedown? I don't doubt that Sean Strickland, especially if he had an open mind and was willing to be coached by his coaches, I think he could quite easily beat Adesanya, given, I'll say quite easily. Let me take that back. Nothing's going to be easier when it comes to beating Adesanya, but there will be much easier ways for Sean Strickland to get the belt off Adesanya than the way that he's going to try at 293. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. Okay. So let's just have a quick look at this, because this is what I'm talking about. You know for sure that Adesanya has watched this fight and he saw this vulnerability and he was like, ah, he was able to point it out before I was. But then it's a downside if Sean Strickland's going to learn from this fight, and I don't know as he will. I don't know as he has the mindset to sit down and go, you know, give me more information that I don't already know, because I feel like he's just like, hey, whatever's going to work's going to work. Now, of course, with Pereira, he knows he's got to close him down. He doesn't want to be standing at kickboxing range with him. He's got to get inside boxing range where he can make it untidy and tie him up and do whatever else he wants to do on the inside that he's going to be punished for on the outside, right? He can't win on the outside against Alex Pereira. So what we see with Sean Strickland is him constantly walking him down. And this is another area where Strickland struggles, is that he doesn't have the footwork to cut people off and sweep them up against the fence. So he tends to follow people in a spiral, and that makes him more vulnerable to being walked onto stuff. Like, it's difficult sometimes. You'll fall into the trap of it in sparring. You're like, hang on a minute, I'm following this person around. You need to sometimes take stock and realize that you might need to do something. Take your own initiative and do something. And we just don't see it here against Poatan. He literally just follows him here. Low kick. Like, he could have stepped across here and cut him off, but he doesn't. He allows Poatan to get out to the side. Lets him circle. Goes to the body. That's important. I've left that in, because look what happens with Poatan. Look at the level of his head. Yeah, you know, we'll use the octagon fence as an example. See where he is right now. As he's moving, he's going to drop his back foot, which is going to lower his level. Right? Freeze that in your mind. Right? He's dropped his back foot. And the reason why he's doing that is because he's lowered his level so he can hit him with a jab to the body. Right? I also want you to pay attention to what Sean Strickland's doing with his hands. He's sweeping in front of him. Right? He's trying to catch whatever's in front of him. It's not ideal. Ideal for Poatan, because he's going to see him doing this and he's going to recognize this channel right... Oh, I can't do it, can I? He's going to recognize this channel right around the side here, right, this vulnerability, which he's going to make the most of in short time. Where are we? Here we go. So same again. He's moving around to this side. He's moving towards the power side of Sean Strickland. Drops his level, drops his back foot. See how his head drops in level. So straight away, Sean Strickland sees his head level change. In the back of his mind, there's a calculation that happens based on his previous experiences. Get the book, The Myth of Free Will. Joe Silver bought it to me a long time ago. It always stuck in my mind. There's a split second calculation that goes in Sean Strickland's mind. And he goes, his head level changed. He hit me in the stomach. I swept it and I still didn't reach it. I see his head level change. And I'm going to sweep for that body shot. And the body shot's not there. And you can see his lead hand. We're watching this hand here. You can see this lead hand sweep away, because what he's thinking is going to happen is Poatan's going to drop his level and then fire a jab into the midsection there. So he's trying to pour this hand down and intercept that punch, right? Makes sense? Wham. Comes right around the side. Because Strickland is blocking a punch that's not there and therefore removing the guard that he needed at the time. And the follow-up shot was just disgusting. But like, look at Poatan. Again, look at the level of his head. Watch how he level changes. Drops his level. Gives Strickland the read that he's going to go to the body, when in actuality he's not. And Sean Strickland reaches with his back hand to block the body shot. And there's the left hook. Pow. Beautiful. Really, really clean finish. Really nice, really simple. Like, I used something similar against Dwayne Ludwig, where I knew he was going to draw his hand away when I threw my jab, so I pumped a faint jab and came around the side with the left hook. It's just like the cross, the head kick dead, the play. You throw the backhand, you come up with the back leg. Like, there's lots and lots of different individual plays like that in mixed martial arts. If you've got a variety of those different plays in your archive, in your playbook, then you can keep spinning these different plates in front of your opponents. If you don't have them, then of course, you're just going to be reactive to what's happening in front of you and using what works in sparring over and over again, which can, again, get predictable. So the thing with Sean Strickland, though, is when he's walked you down, this is what you get. Like, I mean, this is what we see, what we expect if he's going to win a fight. He's going to be in your face and he's going to be bam, 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 bam. It's effective, but it's like, look, he's reading the target. And this is where we can find some appreciation for Strickland's game. Because he is present, because he is in the moment, he's not thinking of presets. He's not going, okay, well, I'll go jab, cross, left hook to the body, low kick, hook to the head, cross to the body. He's not thinking about that because he's not spent the hours doing those sequences on pads. And the downside to that is that sometimes those fighters will press that button and fire that combination completely regardless of what's coming back in their direction. And there are fighters out there like that. I'm not going to name them because they'll feel like I'm picking on them, I'm sure. But I can see that they do lots of pad combinations because they fight in combos. And maybe that's not the right combo. We don't get that from Sean Strickland. He might throw a punch that's redundant and he might throw it from his hip and he might throw it with a weird wrist or whatever, but he's seeing the targets there. He's reading them as he's seeing them. And you get that instinct from hours and hours of sparring. And that is something that stays with you even if you're tired. Like, even when he was dog tired against Nassadin Imavov, they were both gassed. Sean Strickland's the one that can stay active in that dogfight, can be really, really oppressive even when they're both untidy. Like, with Imavov, he's a much cleaner striker, you know? So his strikes, they look crisper, they look cleaner, but if he can't maintain that level, and if nothing's been successful, then Strickland's going to get to you eventually. And, like, this is the kind of circumstance where we're going to see Adesanya struggling. But then at the same time, he's been in these positions with Pereira and he paid for it the first time, but the second time he turned it back in his favour. And look, this is left, right, constantly to keep the pace on him. Like, there's going to be moments in these pockets where Adesanya, I feel, is going to catch him. And for me, Strickland's a really interesting dilemma in mixed martial arts right now. I'm going to be fascinated to watch this fight because Adesanya, for me, represents a really high level of striking. He's, you know, 16 knockouts in 24 MMA victories, 29 knockouts in 75 MMA victories. He's a very, very slick striker. He's got the striking power ability. He's got the height advantage. He's got the reach advantage. Like, there are lots of things that suggest that Adesanya should be able to just kind of toy with him and walk away with the victory. Most likely be able to set him up with something that he planned 3-4 weeks before in training camp, because Strickland is going to come in the same version that he was in his last fight and the fight before. Maybe a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit smaller, maybe a bit better conditioning, maybe a new trick that he's learned in sparring that he happened to, you know, discover, or that someone used against him, so he's recruited it into his game. You know, I don't know what else to say. I've been kind of all over the place on this one. The interesting thing with Sean Strickland, I mean, he comes in at number one for significant strike defense, 65.4%. I think that's the second. That he's, there are two stats that he's a leader on: significant strike defense and time spent in bottom position, which is 0.6. He's an interesting anomaly in the division, Sean Strickland. He's slightly undersized, maybe a little bit too big for welterweight, maybe a little bit too small for middleweight, would be perfect right in between. He doesn't have the broadest of skill sets, but what he does, he forces onto people and he makes them deal with it in ways that most of them can't. And I think he's very good at flagging people that don't have a good handle on their pacing and on their striking application. Because you can strike, you can be a good striker, you can look great on pads, you can look fantastic in the open workout, you can look good against people that you're beating. But if you've got someone like Sean Strickland, who's very good at making people look bad, who's got that patient defense where he walks into range for the first round and just kind of absorbs what you've got and sees where you're at and keeps popping you on the nose with that irritating jab that, you're like, God, why is this head kick keep bouncing off this guy? It's because he's standing over his back foot and he's loose and he drifts away. He's like a reed in the wind, you know? Same with Nate Diaz. You crack him hard and he drifts away and he comes back. Like, there's a lot of things in Sean Strickland's game that I feel like we can learn from, but there are lots of things in Sean Strickland's game that I feel like could be elevated to make him a lot better than he is. I hope that's made some sense. I've been kicking this fight around in my head for a while, and it's just it's fascinating. It really is, because of course, you know, what Adesanya's been able to achieve, him getting his belt back from Pereira, was incredible, especially in the way that he did it. But the success that Sean Strickland's had in being able to just take what he does and ram it down people's throats, like, can he do it to Adesanya? If you ask me as a martial artist, most likely no, he can't. And if they fought 10 times, I would bet on Adesanya every time, because I tend to find, if I have a bias, it's towards people that are studious martial artists. I like to see people that are adamant that they're going to learn and be better from one fight to the next. So Adesanya will have learned more, most likely, from his last fight against from his last fight than Sean Strickland did from his. You know what I mean? It's like the mentality of a fighter is everything, and sometimes I find myself gravitating towards or away from a fighter if I don't feel like they are willing to evolve. Maybe that's because obviously, you know, I take your criticism on board, and there were people that were upset in the way that I'd discussed Aljamain Sterling's striking style. But I feel unfortunately for you guys, like what I was explaining kind of played out, because Sean Strickland was able to isolate and expose one of those weaknesses that Aljamain Sterling's got. What we have to realize is that elite level MMA is not necessarily what's the best right now. what we're striving for is an elite level of MMA where people are good at everything. And will we ever get to that stage? I hope so and I think so, but maybe not. Maybe we'll always have specialisms. Maybe we'll always have people that are particularly good at one particular thing or don't like one part of the game, so they neglect it, or they are the antithesis of martial arts, which for me is what Sean Strickland is about. You know, he shows up every day and he puts the work in, but he doesn't seem to want to add new things to his game. And I may be wrong, I'm not his coach, but the way that he walks away from his coach in between rounds, I would imagine he's a very kind of hard-headed and difficult person to get through to, which is a shame because we can see how tough and durable he is and how game he is, and that's something that you can't teach. What a fascinating fight this is going to be. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you check out Harney.com, Harney and Sons Tea. This is the hot cinnamon spice. It is everything that's great about this time of year. Enjoy autumn. Enjoy all these leaves falling off and all the wonderful colours that we get this time of year. And enjoy a nice brew. And, of course, enjoy these fights. And I'll see you next time.